Have you ever wanted something so much that you could almost taste it, or smell it, or feel it, even before you touched it? Have you ever wanted something so desperately that you were willing to pay whatever was the asking price? The sky was the limit. My father owns two non-refurbished 1929 Model A Fords. And for many years, one of them was parked in our front yard. Growing up, I remember many people stopping by our house, often at dinner time, to ring the doorbell and ask if the car was for sale. My father would respond, no. Yet some of them didn't seem to hear him, for they would make an offer. He would tell them, the car is not for sale. Some people still didn't get his message, for in a few months, they would return and make another offer. The car has always been in my father's family, and his dream was to restore it when the time, perhaps in his retirement, that he would be able to do that. No monetary price could or can be placed on the value the car has for him. There's a character in the Bible who reminds me of those people who stopped to inquire about my father's old cars. His name is Simon, and we've met him in Scripture this morning. Simon was a famous sorcerer, as the King James describes him, or magician, as some other translations have it. And he was impressed with the miracles he saw the early disciples perform. He had been around the world of magic for a long time, but what the disciples were doing was the biggest thing he had ever seen. He was already famous and wealthy, but he knew that if he could acquire this act, there would be no limit to his power and his fame. In the 8th chapter of the book of Acts, we read about the disciple named Philip, who had traveled north from Jerusalem to the city of in Samaria where Simon lived. Philip proclaimed the good news of God's love in Jesus Christ. People heard that, believed the message, repented, and accepted Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. The paralyzed and lame were healed. Everywhere it was evident that something was happening. Simon, the sorcerer or magician, noticed all of this and wanted to have some of this power that Philip had. To understand Simon, we need to understand that magic was seen as a vastly different perspective in the ancient world. We think of magic as something to mystify and entertain, and we often don't take it too seriously. In the ancient world, magic was taken very seriously. Primitive people have believed in white magic, which was beneficial, and black magic, which was evil, sinister, and destructive. And not only was Simon a magician, but he was also tremendously successful in his field. Simon was a real spellbinder. He was one of those convincing speakers, one of those dynamic personalities whom, if we listened to too long, we would find ourselves believing. We might think of some of the magicians we have today, and we think, how does he do that, or how does she do that? When Simon the magician announced that he had accepted Christ and received baptism, it created quite a stir in that city. Many Samaritans were turning to Christ, but Simon's apparent conversion was sensational. It would have made the morning news or made the headlines of the paper. We probably would have even gotten a text on that or a news blurb when Simon accepted Christ. Simon the magician had been watching. When he saw the change that was brought about in people's lives through the Holy Spirit, he considered that to be the greatest thing that he had ever seen. Imagine if he had been around at the resurrection. But perhaps his background in magic made him think that this was a powerful trick or a gift that could be purchased. He had to pay for his other tricks by which he had impressed and amazed the nation, so he was ready for the disciples to name their price. Luke, in writing to in the book of Acts, says he offered them money, saying, "Give me also this power, so that anyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit." So we need to think about for a few moments this morning, how do we interpret Simon's request? It's apparent that Simon's conversion was not very deep. He professed faith. He had been baptized. He could use the right words. But in his heart, there was very little difference from the Simon after baptism from the Simon before baptism. And his life did not look very different than before his conversion. We must wonder about what Simon really heard, what message he heard from Philip. At least Simon recognized that something important was happening and didn't brush it off. He knew the reality and recognized the power of the Holy Spirit. And even though his level of understanding may have been crude, his offer says, "You may not see it, but there's something there." So what did the apostles Peter and John say to Simon after he made his offer? They told him the Holy Spirit was not for sale. There are some things we just cannot buy. We cannot purchase God's grace, or God's love, or God's peace. We can buy a house, but we cannot buy a home. We can buy companionship, but not love. We can purchase drugs, but not joy. Some things are not for sale. People who recognize the reality of the Holy Spirit often want to assure their control. They don't want to relinquish everything. We see this in the hundreds of little sect groups that refuse to participate in the ecumenical movement. Their claim to have the truth, the Holy Spirit, which can only be received their way by their doctrine. Simon, the magician or sorcerer, has his followers in the religious wilderness today, people who profit and grow rich from the emotional and spiritual hunger of seeking people. The Holy Spirit is not limited to certain denominations. The Spirit is not for sale. It cannot be controlled by human beings. This reminds me of the following story. Every day, just outside a small village in India, an old man sat cross-legged, stirring ordinary dirt mixed with water in an old pot. After hours of stirring, he reached into the pot and pulled out a large nugget of gold. Day after day, people watched him sit and stir, and they waited for the moment when he would reach for the gold nugget. When he pulled it out, they would murmur with amazement. One day, a brazen young man approached the old man and asked, "Will you show me how you do this trick?" "Certainly," the old man replied. "It is not difficult. All I have here is an ordinary pot, a simple stick, dirt that you can find anywhere, and water from the town well. I pour the dirt and the water into the pot and begin to stir. After a while, a lump of gold forms, and I reach in and I remove it." Immediately, the young man found a pot, a stick, some dirt, and a small bucket of water. He poured the dirt and the water into the pot and began to stir. He stirred all day long, stopping frequently to see if the gold had begun to form. He continued stirring the next day, all the way into the evening. But no matter how long he stirred, No gold nugget could be seen. Not even a tiny one, not even a fragment of gold. Finally, he went back to the old man for further instructions. Tell me step by step what you've been doing. The old man replied politely. Quickly, the young man recounted everything he had done. When he finished, the old master thought for a moment. It seems I neglected to include one important detail, he said. While you stir, you must never think about the gold. Anytime we try to use God to achieve our own ends and purposes, we need to change. We need to turn around. We need to repent and move in a new direction. Anytime we try to control or direct God's Spirit, we need to repent and change our direction. For God is the Lord. God loves us and seeks our love, the love of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. God seeks to lead and direct and change us. God is not a toy or a trick, a servant or a drug to get us high. For God is the Lord. We are called by the New Testament teachings to turn from all trust in magic and sorcery. No magic money or magic trip or person or possession will solve our deepest problems. By trusting in these types of things, we try to use God to multiply our cleverness and power. And we move further and further away from God. It's like that man stirring that pot of muddy water and thinking all the time, oh, that gold's going to come, that gold's going to come. No. Think about something else. And then it comes. For magic is our effort to use anything to satisfy our real needs and wants without having God at the center of our lives. Instead of magic, we are called to trust, to accept a mystery, the mystery of God's existence, which we cannot prove. The mystery of God's love revealed upon the cross. The mystery of God's presence within our hearts through the Holy Spirit. When we focus on magic or even perform magical acts, we're focusing and centering on ourselves. But faith, real faith, is to turn from our magic to trust in the miracle of God's love, the mystery of God's Holy Spirit that is present with us. The miracle and mystery of God's love rather than the magic of humans becomes the center of our lives. This is part of what is meant by the word repent, change our ways, to turn around from the path we are on and to journey toward God. The other word that's involved is the word pray. Simon was willing to pray for God's power. Peter was saying, in effect, you can't buy it. It comes only to the changed life. Life is changed through believing prayer. Prayer is the point of contact we have. It's the channel through which the miracle and the mystery of God's love enters into our lives. Now, prayer is not magic, not a way to manipulate God. True prayer brings our lives in line with God's great plans and purposes for our lives and others. There are always people who are looking for magic rather than miracle. They pray in order to make God do what they want God to do, whereas true prayer is the surrender of our wills to the will of God, so that humans will do what God wants them to do. Likewise, there are always people who think that they can see religion and use religion for their own purposes. People cannot buy religion any more than they can buy love. Religion, like love, is an end in itself. It cannot be sought in order to make them well, or to make them happy, or to make them prosperous. It can be sought only for itself. But once found, it overflows in byproducts of health and happiness and prosperity. It cannot be manipulated or controlled by personal desires. Those who claim to have such control are pretenders. They often have a large following, and the only thing that can stop them is the truth. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus has already paid the price for our salvation, and therefore his Spirit is not for sale. The Holy Spirit is freely given to us. We need only to repent and to pray. May each of us seek God's Spirit this day, and let us pray together. Holy God, forgive us if we become enamored with others, great as they may be, and do not dedicate our lives and our loyalties to Jesus Christ through his Spirit. Excuse our enthusiasm for lesser luminaries, the gods of our passing age, whose fascination and fame may distract us from following Jesus with undivided devotion. Continually remind us, O Lord, of his great sacrifice and the price that was paid for our salvation. We ask this in his name. Amen.